Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us. Give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think that you are a hater. It is our interview day. And sitting across from me in a blue polka dot shirt from Yahoo Sports. He's also catching him on Turner, doing a little stuff on camera these days. Name is Vincent Goodwill. I don't know what short version you go by professionally these days.
What do you call me, Bo?
I call you Vinny.
Well, then call me Vinny.
Okay, that's cool, but your story is they be calling you Vince and they be calling you all kinds of
other
stuff.
Don't worry about the byline, man. Worry about the relationship.
I'm with you there. I'm trying to help with whatever level of branding that you out here trying to pull
off. I really don't have any level of branding. Like, this from the person whose name is Bomani and everybody on air calls him Bo.
Yeah, that's right. They'll be asked for permission either. I'm more polite, you know?
See, I'd rather you call me Vince on air.
I'm with you.
You call me Vinny because we cool.
Okay, there we go. I'm with you. See, there we go. I'm trying to respect what it is that you building, baby.
I don't know what this is, man.
You enjoyed it though, man, because you're doing the national coverage now for the first time,
it's
right?
It's different because you don't have like the daily grind part of it, but it's still a grind because you're covering like a region and you're trying to chase whatever the big story is type of thing. So you got to stay in tune to not just one team, but like 20.
Yeah, and for the first time, you are around a team that's worth a damn.
Wait, I live in New York, so I'm not around a team that's worth.
But you go,
worth a
but
damn.
You go hang out with teams that are worth a damn. You go like parachute in and be like, "Hey, I hear there's a good team over here."
Hey, you know what? That is different because usually around this time, like the tournament, you start dreading like the drag of like the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Now I'm like, oh, the second season is about to start. What are these playoffs like?
Right, because Vinny been covering the Pistons and the Bulls for about the last 8 years.
Is yes. That makes me old. You just said it makes me old since 2010.
Well, nine.
Damn.
Nine.
I'm old.
Yeah, man.
It's been a minute, man.
You there, man.
I'm basketball Kardashian, man. Whenever I go to a team, the team goes bad.
Damn, I said that. They got to be careful with that. Oh, Vinny showing up. Warriors are going to lose 7 out of 10. Vinny just showed up. What was their record after you did that interview with Steph Curry?
It wasn't great. They played well that night, but it wasn't that great after I did that interview with Steph. It was like, no, the crazy part was I did one with Draymond early in the season, like really, really early when Golden State was rolling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing in a locker. Draymond is on one side. KD is on the other side. And we're just shooting it. We're just talking about different stuff, like off the record recorders, off laughing, joking, have a good time. Literally, a week later, that's when all hell breaks loose. And I mean all hell broke loose.
you just the carrier, man.
I don't know what this is, man. Like, black cat, you know, black book. Like, man, look, send me to San Antonio. No, actually, don't send me to San Antonio.
Yeah, not great. They got 9-game losing streak going to be a thing of the past. Huh?
Hey, man, look here, bro.
All right, now look, you wrote an interesting story the other day, and I think the wording threw people off, but you basically said that with the interactions with fans and players that we ain't that far away from mold, like a Malice in the Palace sort of situation.
Yes.
Now, my counter-argument to that was you got to be real careful what you're talking about when you say the Malice in the Palace, simply because that was a multicultural affair. Everybody was fighting. But it sounds like your point was don't be surprised if a player come at one of these fans.
Yeah, I mean, and I think here's the crazy thing about this, Bo, and you can remember this because you're a historian. We aren't that far removed from an era where players were going to the stands.
No, we're not.
Like Cedric Maxwell going into the stands in Philly to give somebody the beats. Remember this one, Antonio Davis in Chicago.
Right, that was after the Malice in the Palace.
After the Malice in the Palace, like his wife was getting into it with a fan, and he walked up the stairs like not trying to fight, but basically trying to figure out what is going on here.
Well, I think he decided that I'd rather take a 10-game suspension than have to go home if I don't come up here. Because the look on his face, like, oh, man.
Why I gotta do this?
Again.
During the game.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I told you, I watched that clip not that long ago. I had never seen it. I grew up in Houston, but it was only about a year ago was the first time I saw the clip of Vernon Maxwell going up in Portland when he punched that dude. Which was interesting because it was very clear from watching that clip that that dude believed that he deserved to get punched.
Oh, see, I've never seen it.
You can Twitter search it now and you can find it. I had never seen it, but he went up there, he caught the dude, like no fan got his back or anything like that. He went, he stole off on him, he came back. It was very clear. Vern knew exactly who he was going for. He had a very clear reason, stole off on him, came right back down.
Well, at this point, does everybody know who Vern was?
Yes.
Okay, and if that's the case, who's going to defend the fan in the name of Stephen LeVert? Like, let's be realistic about this here. There wasn't Twitter and social media, but there's something called word of mouth, and that is very powerful.
Dude, I always tell the story about Kenny Smith's All-Star Party when it's in Houston.
Yes.
And we in there, and Vern's in there. Vern walk around with a backpack on. I look and I see Vern. I'm like, damn, this messed everything up. Why? Because now I got to keep an eye on Vern.
I remember that.
Yeah, now that I know the Vern here, I got to keep a watch on what's really cracking.
You know what? That's all I remember from that night, Bo?
What would that be, Vinny?
For the people who are uninitiated, me and Bo Monty were hanging out at All-Star Weekend. And that was our first, that might have been our first All-Star Weekend we were hanging out.
Yes, it was.
So Busta Rhymes was performing at Kenny Smith's party.
Right.
Yes. This story. Yes, Bo Monty's not going to like this story. So during the course of the performance stops.
Oh, I forgot.
Yes. So the performance stops and someone says, we have a lost ID here. Someone comes to the front of the stage to get this ID and the crowd was jamming like Busta was going. And he says, I'm looking around. I'm like, man, what idiot lost their ID? And it says, first name, Vincent. I'm like, man, there's somebody here with my first name. Goodwill. I'm like, no, come on, man. Not me. And then he says, Junior, which explains the whole Vincent thing that we're discussing right now. So I'm trying to very cautiously and slowly slide my way to the front of the stage because I want this party to keep going. And I don't want to be recognized. And for those who really don't know, Bomani is all of 6'4".
Yes.
Long arms. So, Bomani wants to make sure that Vincent Goodwill Jr. gets his ID.
That's right.
So he stands over the top of me with his hands and yells out, he's right here!
I did do that.
Yes, you did.
I did do that.
Thank you for that, because I got my ID back.
You did. I don't know if I was the best friend that night. That was also the night that me and my boy George, George, we were waiting to get in line. And while we waited to get in line, Chuck rolls up. So it's Barclays, Ernie's, the whole TNT squad. And then they'd come to some side door for Chuck to go in. And Chuck's like, oh, yeah, Bomani Jones, he here with us. And I'm like, this is 2013. So this is new. So I'm like, yeah. So I walk over with Chuck, and then I turn around like, oh, damn, my homeboy didn't make it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, George didn't make it up.
Did he come back? Did he get in late?
He got in.
Okay.
He got in. He didn't get to go around to the back door. It's my fault, man.
You was basking in it.
I was a little caught up.
You was basking in it. No. Here's the other part of it. My best friend, Quez, was right there with you when my name was getting called out. And he did the same thing. He was like in unison. So I was like, okay, but Monty doesn't know any better. You do.
Of course, we all do better.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the most funny / embarrassing moments of my non-professional life.
It was basically like the end of the school dance. They get on the microphone and they're like, your mama's here to pick you up.
Yes. That's what it felt like.
And I wanted you to feel that.
I'll never forgive you for that.
I wanted you to bask in that moment.
I'll never forgive you for that. Get in the car and warm it up.
Now, with the story though, like, what has been going on in the league that you've picked up from talking to people about player-fan interaction?
Well, it's not just talking to players and people. It's been sitting at press row for years and hearing the things that fans say to guys. I won't say quite zoo-like activities. Zoos, animals, and all that, like cages. But it's a very free atmosphere that fans feel emboldened to say whatever it is that they want to say in the name of this is my team. Like, I think that's an excuse for one. Like, they're just saying stuff because they feel like it. So when you hear these things, like, there was an incident when I was in Memphis, my first year covering the NBA, and a fan, and I'll just give you the visual, Bo, he's wearing overalls with nothing else.
Oh.
Yes, and it was the day before Thanksgiving. And sitting in press row, and the guy just kept going, and it was, like, escalating. And he was talking about the players, and I was like, okay, at first, all right, you get it. And then, like, second quarter, it just kept going. So then he must have saw a look on my face at something he said. And then he said the three magic letters, boy.
Ooh.
Yeah, he said that to me. So I turn around, and my partner, Vince Ellis from the Detroit Free Press, he literally grabs me by my shoulders like, nope, don't do this. Because at this point, Bo, I'm 25.
Yeah.
Like I have a certain level of principle and sensibilities that, like, nah, I'm not going for this. Like, I'm not our test, but I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to turn around and say something to you because this ain't going to fly.
Right.
So I can get it at my tender age, what that can do to somebody while they're at their job. Like, we forget this is entertainment for us. This is these dudes' jobs. And not that their lives are on the line or nothing like that, but they have to have a level of concentration that doesn't preclude, like, you saying some crazy stuff to them.
Right.
And these dudes grow up in an environment where if you say something crazy to me, I'm going to say something crazy back to you. They're used to it. You know, these guys go to college. These guys, their bios are in, you know, the guides and everything else. They're used to students saying foul stuff to them. But there's a certain line that a college student will not cross against his peer because
yes.
he knows that there's a threat. This dude might find me. These fans get a little older. They spend a little money. There's that resentment there. There's that separation. They think they can go a little step further. Why? Because, quote unquote, I pay your salary when they really don't.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Boy and Vince Ellis because we had this Blake Griffin incident. You seen this mm-hmm. happening in the Timberwolves game, and apparently somebody called Blake Boy.
Yes.
And Blake wasn't having it. And I think the part that your story mentions that becomes important about this is, yeah, I think there's a little bit of change in the way that fans are dealing with players, but players, they're not here for it, man.
No. And here's the thing. Like, we are a generation removed from the palace, from the malice of the palace, where that generation of players.
I mean, that was 15 years ago.
Exactly. So these guys only see that in, like, snapshots. Like, even the footage is grainy compared to
right.
the quality of stuff that we see today. So it's almost like a different world. So if you're looking at, like, a player who enters the league now who's 20 years old, the brawl happened when he's in kindergarten. There's no level of connection now. So let's take a guy who's 25. Now, he entered the league under a different generation where maybe there were a few more OGs. And you were given the rules from the OGs, but at the same time, there's still respect. So these guys are looking at it. David Stern was the commissioner. Ron Artest was in the league losing it. Like, there was no social media and all this other type of different stuff. So there's more stuff that players put up with on the regular before they even walk into the arena. Your Facebook, your Instagram, your Twitter mentions are like, Bo, you're a public figure, and you're not an NBA player, and your Twitter mentions are like a landfill
yeah.
most of the time.
Basically, and I, you know, we've had more discussion about this, but like, it's a bunch of hecklers in your pocket.
Yes. And it's almost like addictive, like, cause we like feedback. Players
right.
like feedback, and they want to feel validated. And then you go to your Twitter mentions, and you're like, wait a minute, I'm this. All right, cool. And then fans, if you don't reply to them, imagine how a fan feels when they take the time to tweet at you with all this venom and you don't even acknowledge their presence. They're going to take it a step further if they can. And the next step is at the arena. And that's where you get this toxic sort of atmosphere where both sides are trending perilously close to the line. And all it's going to take is one player. All it's going to take is one fan. And I don't mean like a brawl, but a real life altercation. And Russell Westbrook, I don't think he's a fighter, but I think he's somebody who demands a certain level of respect.
Yeah, see, I don't think, what I think if it happens, and it's worth noting, this is kind of how it started in the palace. Artest didn't go to swing on that dude.
He went to talk to him.
Yeah, like, yo, you know, what is, like, didn't he have his fingers in his face?
Yeah.
You know?
He sort of put his arm on his shoulder a little bit.
Yeah.
And then he got snuck by the guy who really threw
yes.
the bottle at him.
And then the chaos. Right. And
yes.
then the chaos, like, jumped up from there. But it's not like a player's necessarily going to go in there throwing haymakers, but somebody going to get on the look, man. You know, like, you know what? It's not going to be dissimilar to what Russ did with that child.
Yes.
Where he was like, hey, man, you need to understand how the world works, young man.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not what this is going to be.
And not just that. Think about it. He wanted to talk. He was saying that to the little boy, but he was really saying
it
to the parent.
Yeah.
And the parent was like sort of smile. And I don't think he was getting it.
No.
He wasn't getting the severity of the moment.
You the one I got to fight if it comes down to
Absolutely.
It. I can't be out here fighting Sparky. Right.
You call him Sparky.
Like, you the one I'm going to have to scrap it out with if it come down to it.
So how close do you think that, you don't think we're close at all to that?
I agree with you in the sense that how close we are all depends on who that one person is. Like, who's the wrong one that somebody doesn't recognize as the person who's not going for it? And the big variable that's changed, man, these cats are getting heckled 24 hours a day now.
And they can't turn it off.
Right. And because they're of a generation that really cannot turn this off. They're native to that world. And I think part of what happens to them is that's the means by which they started by communicating with their friends. Because when you smaller time, for lack of a better term, your social media is about you and your friends.
Well, not
and then when you become a person, mm-hmm. so to speak, like a somebody, your social media is about you and strangers.
And here's the other part of it. These guys' social media is like a second job to them. Like everything, not everything is about brand building, but everything is like, be mindful of this. You have to do this in addition. And part of the NBA's brand is intimacy. And intimacy also has its sort of drawbacks to it. Like, think about Brandon Ingram. What if someone runs up on Brandon Ingram the wrong way at a game?
Wrong dude. Wrong dude. May not know it. Wrong dude.
And who's going to think that little skinny Brent, in their minds, he ain't Ron Artest, except he will give you the hands.
Right. Right. Don't get into it. Brandon Ingram is skinny, perhaps even real life skinny, definitely NBA skinny. Brandon Ingram will give you that work.
But
civilian.
All it takes is one.
That's all it takes is one. Yeah, on another time when we're not on a microphone, we need to put together our power rankings of like who the one might be.
That's a great point. That's a
you know,
point.
Like I wonder, like with some of these can't go back all stars, if they are the one or the opposite of the one because
they can't go back.
Right?
Well, if that's the case, then Steven Jackson would have never run up in there because he couldn't go back.
Yeah, but he operates on principle in a way that like most people do not. But like take a dude like Jonathan Simmons.
Yes,
Jonathan Simmons can't go back.
I don't even know where back is, but he ain't going back there.
Houston.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Oh, no, he ain't. Oh, there's never.
Nah.
There's never.
Nah. He ain't going back. He ain't going back. But at the same time, he didn't get here by letting stuff slide.
Well, see, I wonder, can you turn that off? And here's my thing. These players are wired to be at such a hair trigger. Why would you want to mess with somebody? Like, Bo, I think I've seen you do TV a couple times just live. And you are a totally different person where you're trying to concentrate like the most minute thing can mess with you. And I've done TV where it's at like a heightened sense mm-hmm. where your level of patience isn't as high for you as a human being because you're in this different state.
Right.
I can't imagine what it's like. Okay. I got to be physical. I got to be intense and all this. And now I got to turn this off to deal with this fan over here who's 15 feet away and think he could just say whatever. Nah, Chief, not happening.
By the way, the answer is always Boogie Cousins. The more that I consider this and ponder it, the answer is always Boogie Cousins. Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart got a track record.
We got evidence.
We got a track record on that one.
What do you think about Draymond Green?
Nah, I don't think his crazy is that crazy.
Mm.
Not that kind of crazy, not the magnitude, but like that crazy.
Well, you gotta kinda lose it to do that.
Yeah, like I think he could shake off a fan.
Yeah.
Kind of sort of in that way. Like we need somebody that just has a distinct lack of self-control.
Then in theory, wouldn't we say Russ?
Except I feel like Russ has enough self. Cause we have seen those moments though where people have done what we do know about Russ is not here for you touching him.
No.
Like the clips we've seen where it's gotten close with Russ is do not touch
him. Well, here's the thing. The thing in Denver, and that was the weird thing. The guy jumped in his face after the game winner or whatever. And the one thing I always give Russ credit for, Russ immediately will point to security. Like, hey,
yep.
Russ knows where security is. Who's
yep.
Then the guy in Philly, you gave him the double bird. Whose man is this?
Like, he is so funny while looking like he's no fun.
I don't think he's fun, but he's funny to observe.
Yes.
He ain't funny to be around, but I think he's funny from a very reasonable distance.
We talked about this when it happened. You remember, free agency, Paul George signed, you know, Russ threw the party at his house and all of that stuff. And I'm like, I can't imagine how annoying it is to party with Russ because Russ is a dancing dude. So
yes.
Russ is out there dancing, but you over there with Russ and Russ out here to do grab your arm. Have some fun. Like you just over there on the wall, bobbing your head.
You
don't really get down like that. Yo, get out of here and have some fun.
No, you got to go at 95 miles an hour like Russ.
Yes.
And if go see video, like go just Google YouTube video of Russ dancing.
Yes.
Russ dance how he plays.
Yes.
Down the lane, don't matter who's there, bull in the china shop. I can't imagine what it's like to grow up with Russell Westbrook as your daddy.
Somebody's about to do it.
Well, three about to do it.
That's right. He had twins and one of the twins, right?
Yes.
Russell Westbrook is somebody's dad. Let me tell you what I bet you hear a lot of in that house. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Like, whose kids you think gonna be more well-behaved? Russ's kids or Chris Paul's?
No, Russ's.
Really?
Yes. Cause I think there's an element that Russ probably is not the boss of that house.
Maybe not.
With Chris Paul is probably so annoying as a dad that you might rebel against it. Cause he doesn't stop.
No, that is correct. But I also imagine this though. Like I bet that boy got a firm handshake. I bet he look you right in the eye.
Absolutely.
When you meet him.
Absolutely.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Jones. Right? Like I bet Chris Paul, that boy backed me straight.
Well, he ain't got a choice. Cause when your daddy is only 6 feet tall, you got to straighten that back to get as much mileage out of that height as possible.
Well, also, I imagine, I don't know how tall that boy ultimately going to turn out to be, but it's going to be tense in that house if he get taller than Chris Paul. Chris Paul going to be doing everything he can to make sure that boy understand who still run this.
Look, man, it ain't going to be tense if he gets over Chris Paul. It's going to be tense when he's like around 5'10".
Oh, yeah. That's what
again, just getting around to it. Like, hey, Chief, I know you're 15 and you starting to feel yourself.
Exactly.
But don't try this.
Like, oh, so you think that now that you wear a bigger shoe than me that you think you the man who run this, huh? Like, that's what it's gonna be. That's absolutely what it's gonna be with Chris Paul and Lil Chris.
Yeah, cause Lil Chris is like, we gotta think, we've seen these kids, like, grow up before our eyes.
Lil Chris gotta be like 10 or 11 now, right?
You would think, right? Yeah, maybe even a little bit older than that. And that growth spurt ain't hit yet.
Oh, it hasn't?
No!
Sometimes it comes late.
It came for me late.
It came for you?
It did.
Oh, that's what we call it now. Okay.
Okay. Look, I got no problem being vulnerable about this. I was 5'2" at the end of my sophomore year high school.
I was 5'4".
Oh, wow.
I was 5'4" at the end of my sophomore year of high school.
But you were younger, though.
Yeah, but I was still 5'4". Yeah. Like my growth came late for my age, and then I was younger. So I got to go to reunion now, and it's weird. It's like, why am I 3 inches taller than you?
Well, see, yeah.
Like, my mind can't grasp the idea that I'm taller than some of those people, because that's not what my life was.
Well, see, the thing was, I grew 8 inches in 3 weeks.
Whoa.
3.5 weeks, and that hurt. Like, I didn't realize it until one day, like, you try to put your shoes on and your shoes don't. You don't realize that you're taller.
Right.
Because I was playing basketball every day, and I didn't realize, wait a minute, I'm, like, getting a little closer to the rim. Mm-hmm. So this 5'10 feels like 6'5". when you were 5'2",
oh, yeah.
You were 15 and a half. Oh, no, 5'10 feel like all of 6'7".
Like I said, I'm glad you were able to get to the rim.
Wow.
I'm happy for you.
I appreciate that. Well, look, I didn't make the mistake of trying to dunk in the projects of Atlanta.
I didn't try to dunk in the projects of Atlanta.
Oh, you did dunk.
I accidentally dunked in the projects
of Atlanta. How you accidentally dunk? You turned it over.
I tried to explain this to you. I'm going to do it again. It was one of them outdoor balls. And they, you know, they stick.
Mm, mm.
And so it stuck to my hand and I couldn't get like a finger roll.
Mm.
And so I just turned it over.
Mm. I hope you guys are not buying none of this garbage.
No, that's exactly what happened. I promise you I did not have the confidence to go up.
I didn't think adrenaline caught you.
It wasn't even that, man.
I think adrenaline caught you. And I got no problem with it. If I got the times that I got close, I wanted to do it.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you right now, I knew that wasn't the place for it. I knew enough.
So how long before that? How long after that were you like, okay, that was not a good idea?
It wasn't that long before I heard,
wait, he dunked? You dunked?
I'm like, yeah. I mean,
was the game over at that point?
I don't think so, because we didn't play another game. I know it wasn't over at that point, and I know it wasn't because my boy before the end of the game was like, we have to go. Like, soon as this is over.
Get in the car and warm it up.
We have to go. Yeah. I was just lucky we was able to get to the car. Lucky.
You never dunked again?
Not in a game. I did dunk again. I think I could probably dunk now if I had to go out there and do it. I don't know how I'd feel about it after.
You sure your knees can be able to handle that right now?
Wingspan, baby. Wingspan. Wingspan.
You like a 6'7" wingspan, baby?
I don't know, but you can look at it right here. Look at this, man. My arms ain't even
touching
the walls, baby. Wingspan. You know, you learn something about that one day. Who knows? All right, we'll be back to talk to Vinny Goodwill in just a minute. But first, a word from Lightstream. The average interest rate on credit card debt is over 18% APR. Have you looked at your interest rate lately? Refinance your high credit card balances to save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 6.14% APR with AutoPay. The rate is flexed. It'll never go up. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are no fees. Even get your money as soon as the day you apply. When you have good credit, you deserve great service and a low-interest fixed-rate loan from Lightstream. That's lending uncomplicated. Want to save even more? My listeners get an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Bomani. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Bomani. All right, so do you have a LeBron opinion? Laker opinion? What you got?
My LeBron opinion is, and I think you know where I'm headed with this, I'm not going to call these empty numbers that he's putting up, but I don't think we're seeing the same LeBron that we've seen the past 3 or 4 years.
Interesting. He still looks really good, though, at least with the ball.
Yeah, he does, but it's hard to quantify how great he really was. And I think we're going to start going to, like, an era of appreciating LeBron from 2008 to 2018. Like, we're hitting that point where, oh, God, he was dominant on both sides of the floor for 40-plus minutes a game. And now I think more so defensively, yeah, you're watching a lot more ball watching, a lot more, oh, he's the mark type of thing. where maybe not go one-on-one, but you're basically trying to scheme to go at him.
Right. And you know, in this switching era of NBA defense, it's harder to hide.
Absolutely. So my thing is, my question is, can LeBron be the best player on a championship team?
Hmm. I think the answer to that question means that we have to start with just how good is LeBron if LeBron's not going to play defense. Because what I think we've seen from the last few years, though, is that LeBron is not playing defense for the regular season, but is a capable playoff defender in part because he has not been playing defense in the regular season. And this version of LeBron that we've seen, I don't think any of us believe he's been healthy.
No, and that's the bigger part of it. Like I know that fadeaway that got blocked by Mario Hezonja, he didn't put a lot of lift into a jump, but that jumper didn't call for a lot of lift. What it called for was separation. And when you have that level of injury, I don't think he could have pushed off with the level of strength if that injury wasn't there. So I will go back to my point is this. Not that LeBron isn't as great of a player as he is, but the accommodations you have to make for him to be great. LeBron is a system. He's not a player that can just fit in anywhere. I think KD can be KD anywhere on any team in the league and look like himself, which is why he's able to fit in the Golden State and basically any other team. With LeBron, you got to surround him with shooters. He's very specialized. So when I say, can he be the best player? That also means, can your next best player basically be subservient to that system and you win a championship?
Well, I want to know what he has in his mind about the dial back, right? Because when did that become Magic's team? In L.A.
87.
Right. Like, and that's Kareem at like 40 years old.
Right.
Like Magic took over at point in 85. Is that when they got Norman Nixon out of there?
I thought maybe 84, 85.
Yeah, like I think that's when he got to be the point guard. And keep in mind that Kareem, if any player was built to play forever, it was Kareem, because Kareem was ahead of the game and recognizing that flexibility was most important in preserving his body than anything else. But the time came where it was like, hey, we got to dial back on Kareem. Like even like Kareem won the 85 finals MVP, but the dial back had already begun in making the transition into being Magic's team. How's that go with LeBron, you know, because it sounds like if it had been Anthony Davis, that maybe he would have been willing to like move into the place of the dial back.
Well, what does that look like for him? Because he's so dominant with the basketball, because he's the best decision maker in basketball, because you're set up in a way that you want him to have the ball in his hands a lot. Is he going to be able to be a capable enough shooter, open shooter, not like catch and shoot, but basically spread the floor? I'm going to swing it, and you're going to be the recipient of a wing three. Is LeBron going to be that good of a shooter to where, all right, you don't have to have the ball in your hand for 15 seconds? To me, that's the biggest key of
everything. Well, what's he got to be for that from three? What, 36? 30? You think he needs to be about 36?
I would say closer to 38. Because Miami, his last year, he's like 41 from three?
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to be that guy again.
Well, that's because shooting threes is a legs thing also.
Yes.
Right? Like, so as we talk, like we see this happening with Russell Westbrook. Like the fear of the Russell Westbrook decline has to be huge because he's been such an awful shooter this year. He's shooting something like 65% from the free throw line.
Yeah, well, the thing is his numbers have gone up dramatically from the first month. Like his 3-point shooting numbers. I think Russ has had like 38% from March.
So really?
Yeah. So for me, I think with Russ, I think it was just that injury and him coming back from not necessarily age. But yeah, but that's the thing with LeBron. The legs are going to be the first things to go, and he's played more minutes, more high-level minutes for his age and his experience than anybody else in NBA playoff history, period. Four rounds of the playoffs, Olympic runs, his age. It started when he was 22 when he took that first Cleveland team to the finals, and he's basically missed no part of the second round since then. That catches up. That's an extra four or five. He's in his 20th year, you could basically say. Like, people talk about Golden State. They play 82 playoff games or whatever during this 4-year run. LeBron has been at the top for like three eras prior to that. So he's playing like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would think he's played close to 200 playoff games.
Oh, gotta be.
So what does that look like? And I know he spends a lot of money and time on his body, but Bo, Father Time is undefeated.
Here's my thing. Who's coming to play with him? Because the more I've gotten and talked to guys in the league about what comes with playing with LeBron,
he's going to
have to do some things. Like, for example, LeBron is crazy late. If you're going to be on LeBron's team, you're going to put up with LeBron being late, showing up whenever he damn well please. He's going to have to stop doing that.
Well, here's the thing about it. I think, and I said this last week when we were on, when I did my show at Turner on the Bounce or whatever, I wonder if LA missing the playoffs is a good thing long term. Because even if LA made the playoffs and got to the second round, LeBron still thinks, oh, I can do this by myself. All I need is little pieces here or there. LeBron is at the stage now where I need real help and not Chris Bosh or Dwayne Wade on the fringes. I need actual superstar help. So I have to, I won't even say humble myself, but I have to be in a position where I'm more open to letting guys be themselves than any other point. The problem is, who wants to take that chance? Because we've never seen this LeBron before. Kawhi Leonard, do you think Kawhi Leonard wants to go play on LeBron James's team?
No, and it's crazy because they would play together so perfectly because Kawhi Leonard is not a playmaker.
No. And that's the one thing that's Kawhi. Here's the thing. Paul George would have been great with the Paul George that we see this year.
Yeah. Well, it's like the worst thing in the world that happened to the Lakers is these guys telling the world they wanted to go play for the Lakers, so now they can't go play for the Lakers. And I think the Lakers made a mistake.
They should have
either traded for Paul George or when the free agency came, not being like, nah, we good.
Well, here's the thing. I think that they knew before free agency that Paul George wasn't coming. I think, and I want to say it was before game three or game four of the finals, and LeBron gave some speech in one of those off days about players not embracing the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was sort of one of those subtle subtweets to Paul George.
Playoff P?
Yeah. I think he knew that Playoff P wasn't coming to L.A. with him. I think these guys know before July 1, let's be completely honest. I think he did his homework. I think he knew where he was going, and he knew that wasn't nobody coming with him, or at least the guy that he wanted most to come with him this year was not going to come with him.
And Paul George, by the way, for those who are not paying that close attention, Paul George has been a top five NBA player.
Absolutely.
This year.
The two-way player, when you talk about quote-unquote two-way player, i.e. best defensive player who plays offense.
Yeah.
That he's been that.
And let me tell you what else he's doing, too. Really flipping up the narrative on Russell Westbrook, impossible to play with guy.
Well, here's the thing about quote-unquote Playoff P. It wasn't so much that he was unhappy in Indiana and couldn't be the guy. He just didn't want to have all of that on him with nobody else to share it with. So being in Oklahoma City is kind of like the perfect situation because that's small market. Russ has all the pressure. I can just play. And once Russ figured out, okay, you're coming back. You're here for the long term. Let me figure out the best way for you to be successful so we can do this.
Yeah, and Russ will give you the ball.
Absolutely.
Right. They would cast Russ wasn't giving the ball to, I wouldn't give the ball to neither.
Well, if you're as good as Russell Westbrook, how many guys are you going to realistically give the ball to?
Andre Robertson over there in the corner waving his arms at you.
Andre Robertson under the rim waving his arms. Are you giving him the ball?
At the rim, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I got him at the rim. By the way.
I got questions.
By the way, they might be the best team in the West if he were healthy.
Yeah, because you got two wing defenders.
Not just two kind of wing defenders.
Two great.
Like top six or seven in the league wing defenders, if you had him and Paul George.
And look, and here's the thing. I've always said this. It is not Houston that Golden State fears. It is Oklahoma City. And I've talked to players from Golden State, and they're like, look, when you beat a team like Houston on their home floor in a game seven, that fear factor is gone. Like, you took their chain. You took Houston's chain. I don't care what the circumstances were. I don't think they won that series even if Chris Paul was healthy last year. I disagree with you on that one because Iguodala came back. And Iguodala was – before Iguodala got hurt in game four, they had figured Houston out. And that was the Harden – I won't say stopper, but that was the one who compromised Harden and was able to let Golden State's defense stay at home everywhere else. And once he came back, you saw everything fall into place. And I don't think Chris Paul's – sensibilities were going to hold up to the point that Golden State was going to respect him enough in that setting.
The thing with the Houston team this year, again, what offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
They rolling the ball out there. Everybody go get you.
Get the ball,
shot.
Will.
But I do think that something that is underrated about the Rockets is, hey, man, if Eric Gordon is your number three.
You're not bad.
You're not bad.
You're not.
Capella with them rim runs and everything else. I still think they're a team that can get hot and make something happen.
You think they're beating Golden State?
I wouldn't say they're beating. I think they are capable of beating. Like, the Nuggets are the team I don't know what to do with.
See, I think the Nuggets are the team that in the Rome, like, if they play Utah right now, like, they're second, and I think Utah seven. I think Utah gets them.
So my question about Denver is, if y'all need a bucket, not a play, because Jokic will make a play, but if y'all need a bucket, who's going to get this bucket? Is Gary Harris going to?
No. Might be Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray? Like, is he at the point now where we can say, yo, you're going to go get us a bucket?
Well, they're at the point where they need him to go get him a bucket. Like, it's not whether you're capable of doing it. It's basically you are the best option that we have. And, yeah, Jokic can create, but I don't know if you really want him outside of the framework of the offense. Like, we talk about this all the time. Plenty of guys could get 20 in the offense. How many guys can get you 20 outside of the offense? And I think that's what we're going to see from Denver in the playoffs this year. Like, they're making a large jump. They were game out of the playoffs last year to the second seed. They skipped a step.
Yes.
And now we're going to see how real they are. And I think this is real, but I just think the playoff success isn't necessarily going to be immediate.
Well, they also skipped a step without having two super high level players, right? Like Oklahoma City kind of skipped a step, but they had Durant, Westbrook, and James Harden, right? The Nuggets have Jokic and low spades.
Yeah.
They're kind of like Boston from a couple years ago.
They're Boston. Yeah, I was going to say they're like Boston, like Isaiah Thomas Boston.
Yeah.
Where they're playing over their heads and the expectations aren't there. Like, if Jamal Murray gets torched in the playoff series, who's going to bring him and look at him funny in the light?
Right.
If Jokic gets dominated by Rudy Gobert, who's going to say anything? Like, and he's a guy who's going to be maybe top five on the MVP ballot, but nobody's going to say anything because the expectations aren't there. So I don't worry too much about Denver right now. It's pressure basically on three teams. Oklahoma City, Houston, Golden State.
It's funny because I was thinking about the East, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do any of us have any real idea who we think is going to win the East?
I think we have an idea. We just don't believe it.
Who are you thinking?
We think Boston.
See, I don't.
I say we think Boston.
Yeah.
I think Milwaukee.
So I feel like
don't say Philly.
No, I'm not. I feel like the answer to the Milwaukee question comes down to, like, how good do you think Chris Middleton is? Because I think Chris Middleton is very good. But our question about Milwaukee is who's number two?
Yep.
Because I don't think the fact that Giannis isn't a great shooter is really going to matter that much because literally everybody else on the team can shoot.
Right.
You know, so Giannis is going to be, in effect, like Akeem Olajuwon on the 94 Rockets. You just don't think about it in that way. But he's going to get the ball in the perimeter and go inside or start in the post and then get the ball out to people.
And he's the guy who's going to be the toughest to officiate in the playoffs. Because he gets away with so much physical initiation of contact. Like, he lowers that shoulder, gets in, and the refs aren't calling that. If the refs change it up in the playoffs and they start calling that on him, it changes the game because he can't shoot. And that because he can't shoot, like you said, it changes the math. So he's basically going inside, 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 and then kick. If the refs start calling those fouls and they calling it tight, that changes how open the Middletons, the Lopez's, the Bledsoes get. And they're without Brogdon for the first round and a half.
Well, that's the underrated one. Have you looked at, like, what his percentage numbers are?
He's 50, 40, 90.
Yes! I was shocked!
Under 30 minutes, and basically he's getting his work done in 28 minutes.
When shares per 48 minutes, he's like a tick below LeBron James.
Oh, so he's super efficient.
Yeah. Like, he's getting this done. Like, I saw him in college and never thought he was a great player. I've been surprised. I mean, and he's a capable NBA player.
Right.
But he has been much better this year. Not having him, a team that's operating on ensemble, like, sort of program like they are, this matters. Like, they feel like that other Budenholzer team, that Hawks team, except that Hawks team did not have Giannis.
Right. And here's the other thing. I don't think Giannis is like afraid of the moment.
No.
Like, he wants it. So the problem with that is, on the back end of that is, will he wind up wanting it too much? And who would be the team that's capable of taking advantage and using that against him? Talent wise, it would be Philly. Schematic wise, it would be Boston. But we don't know what Boston we gonna see. We don't know what Kawhi Leonard is going to look like in the playoffs. Like, I hate to say we're sleeping on Toronto because of their past history, but we haven't mentioned them one time.
Well, I was just about to say, they've got the best player in the East. The two best players in the East are what? Kawhi and Joel Embiid?
Yes.
Oh, what's up?
Giannis.
Wow, okay. The league got a lot of players, man.
Yes.
That's the thing I look at when we look at Boston, because I'm kind of taking Indiana out of this.
Yeah.
You know, E for effort, T for nice try. But with Boston, of these teams that we just listed and you named their best player, Kyrie is not as good as any of those guys that we just listed.
But Kyrie can get a bucket late better than anybody in the league.
Because Joel Embiid can't.
No.
The Sixers' problem is, I would say it's a problem. So, no, they do have Jimmy. Like, Jimmy can go get that bucket if you need it. If everybody understands that our guy to go get a bucket is Jimmy.
And that's the problem. There's so many questions. There's so much, like, that players have to concede within that I don't know if they're going to be ready to concede, to say, okay, Jimmy, you're our fourth quarter guy. And B going to roll with that? Ben Simmons gonna roll with that? Like, yeah, Tobias Harris is a better fit because he fits within what they do, but is what they do the right thing?
They also, their drop off going to the bench is so staggering. Where on one level it's cool that playoff rotations get shorter and you're playing fewer guys, but even their drop to like 6 and 7, because 6 and 7 for them is McConnell and who's the other dude? Who else? Who are we going to off the bench?
Who would
does
be
Wilson there? Chandler still play
no,
for them?
No, he's at the Clippers now. He's
oh, that's right. He got traded.
They traded all the, like, this is where the this is where their draft picks hurt them. Like, and they picked up Jonathan Simmons for Markelle Fultz, basically. This is where the draft picks, like, we talk about, you know, Embiid and Simmons in the process and all that. But if you did it the real right way, so to speak, and you hit on a couple more of these picks, you got depth. You could have still made that trade for Butler. You could have still made that trade for Tobias. And here's my thing. If you're the 76ers and you're going for it now, do you know something about Joel Embiid's body that we don't?
But I feel like Joel was too good to not be on a go for it now. Right? Like, I think they looked up and they were like, look, we've got like a top 10 player here, and I don't know what I think about Ben Simmons anymore. But I feel like they looked at Embiid. What they didn't think about Embiid is Embiid's game is still not sudden enough. Because that's what Al Horford did to him was, you're getting the ball. Al Horford ain't Aaron Baines. It should be noted that if they're able to muscle him off the front, he didn't have any moves
He didn't have a counter.
Doesn't have a counter. Because I think Charles Barkley told me that one time. He's like, look, you need two moves and two counters. Two moves and two counters and you're fine.
And he's so quick that he can get you on the first one. The problem with those guys is they have a strong enough base. They're not going to be moved by him. And that's why him taking his game outside actually works for him if you have the proper spacing, but you can't have the proper spacing if Ben Simmons is on the floor.
What do you do with a guy who don't shoot, like who plays on the perimeter but does not shoot?
I don't know. He's the toughest guy in the league to evaluate because the talent is there. The gifts are there. Like the way he sees the floor, the way he can make passes to lanes that aren't open, the way that he can force the action. The only difference basically between he and Giannis is like a level of aggressiveness.
Yeah. But like, I wonder about him with shooting. Like, is it going to be kind of like, do you remember the first time you looked up and you saw an interview and Yao Ming was speaking English? Right? And you thought that Yao couldn't speak English when in fact he could. He just didn't in front of us.
Yes.
And then you're like, wait a minute. Wow. He picked up all that English like that fast. Is that what it's going to be like with Ben Simmons, that he's going to go from just not shooting at all, then one day we're going to look up and he's like 37% from three because he doesn't even try?
I don't think he's going to make that level of jump. Like, I don't even think he has the confidence to feel competent from that rank, from outside. Like, cause if that's the case, he would be taking free throw line jumpers. Like, there was a point, Jimmy Butler's first game was in Orlando. I flew down there to go see him. And he had a free throw line jumper. Like, just got a guy on his hip. Usually, traditionally, you take that shot. You know what he did? He threw that thing off the backboard and tried to go get it. Like Kobe style. like Tracy McGrady in the All-Star game. Like, except he traveled because he had to reset his feet. Like, that shows you the level of confidence that he does not have in his jumper.
He tried to Moses Malone it.
Yes. With like Embiid inside, so it's like a jumbled mess. And you think that these teams are not going to scheme for the fact that you can't shoot? Hey, look, Boston kind of had the game plan. And I'll say this, you don't see Ben Simmons buck back against players. Like him against Giannis over the weekend, that was the first time you saw him get punked on a play and him come right back. Because that's Boston's key to him. They talk to him, they muscle him in ways that other teams don't do. That's the kryptonite.
And it's interesting because you mentioned him and not being able to shoot. And that then puts them in a place where Brad Stevens can beat them.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one advantage that I think that they have. I don't even think it's necessarily mental. I think it's just like schematic. And now if it comes down to it, okay, let's say Jason Tatum isn't the superstar that we think he is, but Kyrie Irving can get a late bucket. Tatum can get a late bucket. Philly has to accept that Jimmy Butler can get them a late bucket. And sometimes with the margins thin like that, that makes a seven game series a five game series.
Now with Toronto, what's your concern there? Cause I looked up and Pascal Siakam turned into like the dude.
Yes.
Is this all garbage points?
No, he can play. He's a reason that I think that they're not really afraid about Kawhi leaving. Not saying that he's to that level, like replacement level, but he's better than anybody else that they will bring in to play those minutes. And they're fine with that. My question with them is they're better when they go small. And then they bring in Marc Gasol, who is not Marc Gasol anymore. So then what do you do? Do you keep you know, Serge the choker, Ibaka? Do you keep him? Like, what do you do with him? And my thing is, do they have enough, like, actual rhythm playing with each other? Lowry's missing games. Kawhi's missing games. Like, do they have enough continuity with each other that in a playoff series you can be confident in? That's my question.
It's going to be an interesting postseason, man.
I just don't want to be in Toronto for the finals. That's all.
Why not? It'll be warm.
No, that's the thing. I've never been to Toronto, and I haven't seen two things. Warmth and the sun.
Oh, yeah. No. You'll get them in June.
I've never seen the sun in Toronto.
I know, because you've only been there during the basketball season you cover.
Yes,
you don't be there long enough to get to this place.
I've only seen clouds.
No, you'll rock with Toronto in June.
Okay, probably better than Milwaukee.
Honestly,
better than Boston.
Anybody that's listening to this right now that is from Toronto and heard you say it's probably better than Milwaukee, I don't blame them if they threw their phones or whatever they're listening on out the window, because yes, it is better than Milwaukee. It is. You'll really enjoy it.
Eminently better than Milwaukee.
You'll enjoy Toronto in the summer. Hell, if the NBA Finals go to Toronto in the summer, I might have to fly up for a weekend if you're there, just so I could just show you, like, nah, Toronto is kind of crack.
Well, you gotta think, my long-term experience with Toronto was All-Star Weekend, the most miserable weekend of my life.
Ah, yeah. It was pretty cold.
Oh, my. It was like minus 15. That was the high. Like, you don't understand how cold and snowy it was to where All-Star, you don't want to party. You just want to go back to your room. I didn't want to go out. I did go out, but I didn't want to. And then I will say that was like the All-Star weekend where I met Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, I haven't met Dave.
You haven't met Dave?
I was in an elevator with Dave at All-Star. Well, I was in the elevator and Dave was out the elevator and I froze because I didn't know what to do. I was hoping he would like recognize me. He did not.
Well, he didn't recognize me because I wasn't worth recognizing, but we toasted Hennessy and we sang Stevie Wonder's on the mic together.
Wow.
Yeah, that was kind of dope. Sorry.
I may or may not be hating from the rafters.
Won't be the first time, Bo. Don't worry about it.
No. It'll be the first time I ever hated on you.
Yeah, it might be true.
I've hated on somebody. Calm yourself down. This is the first time you told me a story. I was like, damn, I wish I was Vinny right now. That'll happen.
That'll happen too often.
That'll happen, but so much. All right, we'll be back to talk to Vinny Goodwill in just a minute. But first, a word from NetSuite. Every company battles challenges as they grow. Updating manual processes, replacing inefficient systems, getting a handle on cash flow. As you scale, you need software that can handle that growth. Introducing NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform. With NetSuite, you can save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, and accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desk or even your phone. Thousands of the best-known brands and fastest-growing companies use NetSuite to manage their business, and now it's all available to you. The power of the world's most popular cloud management system is more affordable than you think. Right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights to overcome the obstacles that are holding you back for free. Don't miss out on unleashing your business's full potential with this free guide, Crushing the Five Barriers to Growth. You'll learn how to acquire new customers, increase profits, and finally get real visibility into your cash flow. Get NetSuite's guide, Crushing the Five Barriers to Growth, when you go to netsuite.com/Bomani now. Download their free Crushing the Five Barriers to Growth guide today at netsuite.com/Bomani. netsuite.com/Bomani. So, we'll flip gears up a little bit on the people. Let's do that little halfway personal next, like, 10 minutes or so while okay. We got here. Not, like, personal, but how you like in New York? You are from Detroit. You lived in Chicago for a little bit. Now you're here for the New York City. We're both, like, new New Yorkers. How you dig to New York?
You like New York better than I do.
Yeah, because I didn't come here. I came here expecting to like New York. You came here also. Well, you know, it costs a lot of money.
It does.
It does cost a lot of money.
It does cost. And, Bo, you are in a completely different bracket than us regular
people. No. I'm with you there. But I will say this. Everybody has a moment where they get here and they just realize, wow, New York costs a lot of money.
Mine was the day I got here. You know what it is? It's a different speed. Like we said it the other day. It's a different speed. It's a different pace. And you got to get used to the pace. Like, I'm used to being at a transit city where I am in control of my transit. I've driven my car a total of, like, 10 times. Like, here's the funny part. I filled up my car before it moved from Chicago. I filled it up, you know, corporate brought it here. That was in October. Ask me, when did I put gas in it for the first time?
When was the last time you put gas?
No, you asked me when the first time.
When the first time?
The first time was last week.
Wow.
Literally. So I have not driven my car that much. Just getting around, I mean, the trains and all sort of type. It's not bad. The restaurants are cool here. It's usually something to do. But man, New Yorkers love telling you that they're from New York.
They do.
I think that's the reason, like, unless you're making this type of money, I think the main reasons that New Yorkers live in New York is so they can tell you they're from New York.
Well, the thing I always say is, to live here, you gotta love it. You can't like it. It can't be cool. Like, for most people, making what I would consider to be a reasonable sum of money, you gotta love it, right, to be living here.
Yeah, cause, like, you're living in the smallest place, like some of us. You're living in the smallest place you've ever lived since your sophomore year of college. And you gotta be able to really want to be here for reasons other than just maybe your job.
Yeah, but you better get a summer in New York. Summer in New York ain't bad.
I've been here during the summer.
You about to be here, though. Like, you've been here. Okay, cool. But you about to be here. Like, being here for the summer, it cracks.
No, that's what I've heard. Put it like this. I think this has been my stance on New York is it's a great place to spend 3 days. And then you go home.
Yeah, that's it. You got to free your mind from that, though, man. That's the problem. It's always going to feel like when that fourth day going to keep coming on you, you ain't never going to defeat it if you keep looking at the world like that.
I'm not tripping on it. It's just different. I think, yeah, the summer, you know, with the NBA season, I would say the NBA season slows down in the summer, but it's just different. It doesn't slow down at all, but it doesn't call for all the travel. So you can probably partake in some of the, you know, activities that happens in New York.
What's the craziest thing you've seen on a train?
Wow. I have not seen a fight on the train.
Okay, I got close to seeing a fight the other day. I have not seen an actual fight.
I haven't seen too much crazy stuff, surprisingly. Your stories, like when you talk about stuff that's happened, I'm like, I feel like David Allen Greer in Boomerang. Stuff like that never happens to me.
Yeah, like when I saw that dude almost get beat down on the train the other day. That's why I think I told you about this, where I get on the train and it's this older woman. Did she have a goatee? Or am I mixing this up with another story? Anyway, but I think she had a goatee. And some dude got on and like he's selling like I Heart New York gear. Mm. But something's clearly not right with him. And then he started talking crazy to this woman. She talking crazy back, but it's not loud crazy talk. They're just having like a crazy conversation.
Uh-huh.
But I got to keep my eye on it. And I'm like, man, come on, man. Because I really don't want to be fighting this, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
You got to have
right?
a civic duty.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm like, come on, man. I don't feel like doing that. And I'm looking around like, I wonder if somebody else wants to fight him, right? Because all we need is one. And so they had, and this whole trip, by the way, took place from the stop I got off, like all the stuff that happens took place from the stop I got on, literally to the stop I got off. And then finally it got to a point where this dude got mad. He bumped into some dude bumped into him and he dropped something and he screamed at the dude. And the dude was like, my bad, you know, my bad, man. And he kept screaming at him. And then finally some dude is like, yo, hate a loud bloop. I can't stand a loud bleep. And he was ready to come fight. Like, it was about to be on. Like, who was going to fight this dude for talking crazy to that old lady? We have a volunteer. And I'm sitting there the whole time. Now I'm like, dog, if y'all fall onto me, man, I might break my leg in this train. Like, y'all can't, like,
yeah.
What are we going to do?
Because there's nowhere to go. Like, for the people who don't know about the New York train, like, you're tethered to where you are.
Yes.
Like, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room. Like, if something happens, you got just enough move to maybe get out of, like, someone's, maybe, shot.
Yeah.
But not much else. Mm-hmm. So you don't want a confrontation to go on. Like, the stuff you see on the subway, like, the crazy people yelling at each other, I haven't seen that. Thank goodness I haven't really seen that.
I am stunned. I don't know how you have not seen it.
I'm on the train a lot, too.
Yeah, and I get on the train at, like, on but off hours. You know, like I get on the train like in mid-morning.
Okay.
And then late afternoon. Like I get on the train before quitting time. So like
okay,
I'm not
okay.
there at the 5. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe I'm on there to people who don't really have jobs. And so why don't really have a job? Because I'm the type of person that fight on the subway.
Yep.
Right? Like maybe that's what my situation is.
Yeah. And here's my thing. I'm not in New York as much as you are.
Oh yeah.
So I'm traveling a lot. But even still, you see some crazy stuff I've seen on the subway. Was like I saw something running on the tracks that I thought was like a really big squirrel, and it wasn't a squirrel.
Thanks, boy.
I was like, man, who lives around here? That's like my first time on a subway, and you're like trying to figure out, like you gave me the apps mm-hmm. or whatever, and I'm like, okay, do I go on here, going in this direction, or going in this direction? And you're looking down, you're looking around, and your peripherals just catch something crawling on the tracks. And you're like, oh, that's a big squirrel. No, it's not a squirrel. Hey, that thing is huge.
This is on the track. These
but you don't know if it's going to wind up making its way inside the crevices of the train.
Yeah, I ain't seen no no combine rat that's just like, you know, like you got a 36-inch vert and then they jumping out of there. I tell you an underrated benefit of living in New York when you travel other places and maybe you travel too much to truly appreciate it. I forgot how much stuff really costs, right? So like that Chick-fil-A, that Chick-fil-A combo that I get here.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, that thing don't cost $10 when everywhere. I go to other places. I'm like, wow, $6?
See?
Well, no, I don't need my card. I'll pay you in cash.
Well, see, that's the thing. There's an appreciation when you're gone, but then you come back, you like, why is this so much higher than it is regularly?
Everything.
Like, when you say cost of living, you don't just mean rent.
No.
It's everything.
Everything. It's a gallon of milk.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, Bo, like, you try to go get toothpaste, and it's like $10, and I'm not joking.
No, that's not exaggerated. Like, that can totally happen.
Like, a run to Target, like, you hear people talk about, like I ran to Target, and I was going to get one thing, and I wound up being there all night. No. When you run to Target here, you are going to get exactly what you came for, because you're going to wind up paying more than what you ever bargained. You don't have time to be messing around with anything else.
Like, I didn't plan for this.
No.
Hey, man, I think that's a good point to wrap this up here. That's my man, Vinny Goodwill. Check him out, Yahoo Sports. Tell now, where's the show on Turner? How's that working?
There's a show called The Bounce. It's an app-only show. So basically, you have the Yahoo Sports app or you have Apple TV. You can find it 5 nights a week, the only nights that are not on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Sometimes Roz Golden Wude is the host. Sometimes Stephanie Reddy, who I work with, is the host. Sometimes it's Ali LaForce. So basically, Jason Terry, me, Gary Payton, Quentin Richardson, like basically a bunch of who's in terms of like candid former players, and then little old me.
Now, what days are you on?
I used to be on Wednesdays, and now I'm on Sundays with Gary Payton.
Oh, okay, so you're on Sundays.
Yes, with Gary Payton, who's always Gary Payton.
He does not know how to do anything else.
No, and it's amazing. Like, you would think that usually a guy that's on so much is like annoying. But he's endearing because you're like, GP, what do you think about this? Like, we had the Hall of Fame conversation last week. And I realized how the process of the Hall of Fame goes now.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just bringing up names. And someone brought up.
Thank you for your patience. A representative from the right time will be with you shortly. Your current hold time is
15 seconds.
And he says, no. I hit the floor laughing.
He's right, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's like, GP is basically like, look, man, this Hall of Fame is about to be, is exclusive. We're not just letting anybody in here.
Yes, they do.
And that's the thing. But GP just got in. So now GP is like, look, man, this is about to change.
Gary Payton changed the rules. All right, so that's Vinny Goodwill. Check him out on The Bounce. Check him out at Yahoo Sports. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing here twice a week. My man Gabe Bassett handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Also, thank you to our sponsors, Lightstream and NetSuite. Remember, subscribe at ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you're a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven.